And everybody says, Amen. It's good to talk to our Abba Father and just to pour out our hearts to Him. And He is attentive to our prayers, very attentive to our lives, that even the number of hairs in our heads He counts. And so we are very precious before Him. I would like to start off with a word of confession for each and every one of us. I would like you to kind of find somebody behind you or next beside you, and say to that individual, I live by faith and not by sight. Could you do that? Help me on that. I live by faith and not by sight. Okay, very good. Very good. I live by faith and not by sight. Okay. Then another word of confession is this. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Could we do that again? It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. So, when we think about it, the depth of that, living by faith and not by sight, and that by faith we're indwelt by God Almighty. That's such a great blessing to realize. The Spirit has led our leadership in the topic of emptying for this Sunday. And, of course, our key verse would be Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. And this is a snapshot picture of true Christianity. A life that is crucified with Christ, and that Christ living in us and expressing Himself in and through us. So that captures who we are. We had a very powerful message last Sunday with Christ, my bridegroom. And I was listening to that message also. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend because I was on call and they called me in the hospital. But I wish I have seen the barong that has stains. I think my barong during my wedding is already eaten up by rats somewhere. But there's a lot of story in the journey. And a lot of dying and a lot of giving in the marriage context. In Isaiah 54, 4-5, it says there, do not be afraid, you will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is His name, the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. So besides God being our husband, He is also our Redeemer, and He is our God. What a unique combination. And we are married to Him. He is ours, and we are His. Ain't that amazing? And of course, this is because of what happened in Isaiah 53, the previous verse, chapter. And he, particularly in verse number 5, but He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. It is because of this glorious bridegroom that has sacrificed Himself for us that we became married to Him. It was an ultimate sacrifice. And in Philippians 2, 5 and 8, it says there, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself. There you go. Taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So in emptying, this has been molded to us by our bridegroom to start with. And so the calling is for each and every one also of us to respond to that emptying. We need to empty ourselves just like what our bridegroom has done for us. And there are five me conditions for emptying. And the first condition would be slay me. The second condition would be cleanse me. The third condition would be fill me. The fourth condition would be guide me. And the fifth condition would be use me. And all of this is a prerequisite. Each and every one is a prerequisite to the other. It's a progression. And it's there's a lot of people that will be saying, Lord, use me, use me, use me. But the first condition has not been satisfied to start with. Slay me. So let's journey in this emptying. In condition number one, in Luke 9:23, it says there, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it's a call for us to die for ourselves, to deny ourselves, and to take up our cross daily and to follow him. There's a lot of people that are so intimidated by this slay me or kill me, but actually it is the highest expression of love and devotion to a person that we are following. Remember the time when you were wearing your barong and you were in that stage and you made this confession that in sickness and in health, in riches and in poor, that's dying. That's dying to yourself, that you will stick up with this individual that's in front of you that the Lord has been ushering into your life. Amen? So in John 12:23-25, it says there, Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It's so strong. It's so vivid. And it's a call for each and every one of us that are following the Lord. Actually, when you look at the scripture also at the beginning, it says here, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. To be glorified is to die. That is the call for each and every one of us. And that is the call that has been set by the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was time for him to be glorified. Therefore, he must go to the cross and die for us all. Amen? So, condition one is such a strong, sound calling for each and every one of us that are believing in the Lord. That it calls us to be a dead man walking. He wants us to die to ourselves. Acts 20:24, the Apostle Paul says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I could finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He considered his life worth nothing for him. Have you considered that yourself? Church, have you considered that and have that sitting down with the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, slay me. It is no longer I who live. It's easy to pronounce this scripture, but the reality and the substance of that scripture needs to be embraced by each and every one of us. No one is exempt. Of course, we have Galatians 2:20. We have been crucified with Christ. Now, there is no person that is crucified that would be able to get down of the cross again and walk. If you are crucified, you are dead. And I am dead. There is no exemption. Now, this would push us into another level, another condition. In condition number two, cleanse me. Once you are slain and submitted to the Lord, now you give him the freedom to clean you. Last night we have a Bible study, and there is this modern day parable. And in the modern day parable, there's this young man. He bought his new house, and he's so excited about it. And one day, he was so mesmerized and happy about this new house. He heard a knock on the door. By the way, this is a parable, okay? And when he opened the door, it was Jesus. He was so excited and said, "Jesus, come into my house. Yes, I'll give you the best room there is in the house." You know, the best room is upstairs. You could see the view, and it's a bigger room, and you could have that house. Anyway, the following day, there was this hard knock on the door. When he opened the door, it was the devil. And he said, "No, I don't want you." And so he closed the door, and the devil pushed the door, and he was able to come in the house. They wrestled. He shouted. And then he said, eventually he was able to overcome the devil and push him out of the house. And then Jesus came down of the stairs and said, and he said to Jesus, "Jesus, I was shouting, I was wrestling, I was fighting this devil, and you didn't come down and help me." And Jesus said, I was only upstairs because that's the only room that you provided for me." It's a parable. So he said, "Okay, Lord, I'll give you the whole second floor, all of that rooms and everything that's in there, that's yours." And then the following day, there's this hard knock on the door. And then when he opened the door, he recognized Satan again. And Satan kicked the door, and he wasn't able to prepare himself. And he wrestled with Satan and shouted and all that. And then he was able to push Satan out of the house. And boy, man. He was thankful that Satan was out. And then Jesus came down again of the stairs and said, "Lord, why did you not help me? And Jesus said, "My territory is only in the second floor. What you need to do, son, is give me the whole house." So this young man gave Jesus the whole house. So in the third day, there was this strong knock on the door, and Jesus came down, and when he opened the door, Satan said, "I'm sorry, I knocked at the wrong door. I am in the wrong house. Cleanse me." There are certain Christians, and a lot of Christians actually, that they give Jesus only compartments in their lives, rooms in their lives. They don't give the whole place in their lives. They involve themselves with evil. They involve themselves with stuff that you know are not appropriate for God's children. We need to give Him everything, that He may clean everything inside our house. Amen? Cleanse me. Really? We want Jesus to cleanse us? Then give Him all. All to Jesus I give. Hebrews 12. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." We need to throw off everything that hinders. As I was pondering with this also and trying to connect with the message last Sunday, you know, some of our children, they throw off their clothes. The Monday pile is here, the Tuesday pile is here, when you enter the room, and all of that. I've been thinking, you know what? I think God is preparing them also to, there's a negative side, there's a positive side. I think the positive side would be, they need to throw off the dirty stuff. And that's what we want, that's what we desire in God's cleansing, that we know how to throw off the things that hinders in our relationship with the Lord. Amen? Watch what you watch. Watch what you listen. Because Satan could use those to come in and mess things up. So in condition to cleansing, this is cleansed man walking. We want to be that kind of man, that we are walking in this world, but we are not of this world. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. Psalms 119:9-11, it says there, how could a young man make his way pure? By living according to thy word. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. We want to be clean for our bridegroom. We want to be our best for our bridegroom. Romans 12:1 and also 2, of course. I beseech you therefore, brethren, in view of God's mercy. How does it say again? To present yourself holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We want to be acceptable before Him. We want to be clean before Him. The third condition would be, fill me. There's a thought to ponder here in John 5:30. Jesus said, by myself I can do nothing. Could you imagine the Savior, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He humbled Himself and emptied Himself, made this statement, by myself I can do nothing. And who are we to say that I can do something? Likewise, we echo the same thing. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the Lord, we are nothing. The relationship of the vine and the branch is continuous. For us to survive this world and be pure before Him, we need to have that continuous feeling from the Lord, from the vine, coming to us, the branch. Because if we allow the sap, the holy sap of the Lord, the holy life of the Lord to flow through us, we will bear much fruit. And that's what we want, right? To bear fruits for His glory, for His honor, for His praise. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Luke 4:17-19. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Brothers, it's the same Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, is upon me, to preach the gospel to the poor. And He has sent us to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. It's the same calling, and it's the same Spirit that empowers us. It's a high calling. All of this is tied up with that emptying. Colossians 2:9-10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given the fullness of Christ, who is head of every power and authority. In Christ is the fullness of the deity. And it is our privilege, being attached to the vine, to be partakers of that divine nature. He has given us Himself. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The days are evil. There's no need even to convince us that the days are becoming darker and darker. When you turn on the TV, it's dark. It's evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one thing that is so amazing, brothers and sisters. Sometimes you'll be saying, Lord, I really want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be, and sometimes to be, how do I qualify myself that the Spirit of God is in me, that I am really in Him, and He is in me, and He is my vine, and I am the branch. And when you look at this chapter 5 of Ephesians, particularly verse number 19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in everything. You could find that inside of you, and sometimes you wake up singing. And sometimes you can't help it, but you are singing because the Spirit of the Lord is ministering to you and allowing you to express joy and happiness inside your spirit. And I know you have experienced this before. Keep walking in the Spirit, allowing Him to express Himself inside of you. So this third condition, fill me, is filled man walking. We want to be a filled man walking in this world, filled with the Spirit of the living God. Amen? So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh or the sinful nature. For the flesh or the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law or you're not under condemnation. There's freedom in the Spirit. There's freedom in the Spirit. We are not bound by anything. The fourth condition is guide me. In John 10:27-28, it says there, my sheep listens to my voice, I know them and they follow me, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, no one could snatch them out of my hand. You know, we don't have to fear death anymore. No one could snatch us out of the hands of God Almighty. The Father whom He has given them to me is more powerful than anybody. I and the Father are one. No one could snatch them out of my Father's hand. So, God will guide us because we are His sheep. My sheep listens to my voice. This is one thing very important for us. We are not here on our own. The Lord wants to instruct us. So going back to Ephesians chapter 5, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So we could be foolish. The body of Christ could be foolish if we are not paying attention to what He is saying. We could resist the Spirit, and we have been warned by this in Scripture. Do not resist the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit. We could potentially do those things. So in this, we need to submit ourselves even more to the Lord. We need to be guided man walking. We walk with a purpose. We walk with the objective of honoring God in everything. Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. God wants to reveal His instruction, His teaching to us. He wants us to become like Him. Because the more you listen to Him, the more I and you believe in Him, the more we could flow through the Spirit. Proverbs 3:5-6. And for some of us, this is a favorite verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He wants to direct my path, your path. He wants us to be where we should be. So in this guiding, actually, we could flash back in the first condition, slay me. If we are not slain, He could not guide us. Right? Then we could be there. Use me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We always carry around the body of the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. That's powerful, isn't it? We want to minister we want to display God's glory, then how dead am I? How dead are you? 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him. He is the object of everything for us. I like K.P. Yohanan's statement in K.P. Yohanan is the president of Gospel for Asia about emptying. And he says here, Christ the bridegroom is asking for an all-out, absolute surrender, not just of our personal life, but of everything with it. This means an absolute denying and emptying of oneself that's far from denying ourselves things like food or new clothing as part of a spiritual exercise. It's not that. Denying and emptying oneself means you are no more your own. You take up the cross along with the pain, the shame, and the rejection. It is losing your life for the sake of Christ and for the sake of his gospel that he purchased with his blood. It is surrendering soul, body, and all to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It is giving up every right to run your own life and allow him to own you to the fullest. Allow him to own you to the fullest. When we get married, when we got married, you know, we gave ourselves fully to our spouses. Fully. And when, how much more being betrothed to him who owns everything, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. How much more should we give our all in all to him? We are all in the same boat, brothers and sisters. We are all in the same boat. We want God to slay us. Amen. We want God to cleanse us. We want God to fill us. We want God to guide us. We want God to use us. Amen? And the world is yet to see a person that is totally emptied to the Lord for his purpose.